Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Drive the highway down the moon, past the billboard where you see me,
see me,
see me, see me. Ask the people for the key.
Hello, Cinecoven. Welcome back to a minisode with your silver nitrate witches. And we are very excited to grace you with both of our presences today. Yes. I'm Isabel Lang.
And I'm Laura Valenza. And this past weekend, Silver Nitrate Witches reunite in New Orleans.
We are in the same room, people. It's very exciting.
Yes.
And since we're in New Orleans, we thought we would talk about a New Orleans movie, although I don't know if I'd call it a New Orleans movie, but it is a movie that takes place in New Orleans that we have both seen fairly recently and have some thoughts about.
And New Orleans is like a really big part of it. Like, I mean, I'm sure some of it was filmed in a studio, but a lot of it does actually look like they came and filmed at least parts of it here.
Yeah, they definitely live in some historic neighborhoods in this movie.
Yeah. So it does feel very like you do get a tour of the city of New Orleans.
Yeah, through a really funky lens.
Really, yeah, this movie's a little catty. Okay.
And by that, Laura means we're talking about the 1982 film Cat People,
directed by Paul Schrader, and it is a remake of an older 1942 movie.
Of the same name.
Yeah. And it definitely has those very, like, early 1940s gothic horror sort of vibes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
We hadn't, in, like, chatting about this a minute ago, brought up the word gothic, but absolutely this is a gothic story, five sure.
Yes.
Which does fit very well with the New Orleans vibe.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. It does feel like a movie that even though it's not really about New Orleans, it kind of feels like it couldn't really be set anywhere else.
I don't see this succeeding in another setting because it's just weird and wild enough.
Mm-hmm.
For now, let's tell you about it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this movie stars Natasha Kinski and Malcolm McDowell as sort of long-lost brother and sister duo, Irina and Paul Gallier.
I think I got the vibe that Paul was a lot older than Irina.
Yeah.
Like, she's pretty young.
Like, they're not like twins or anything.
Ish, even. Yeah.
Irina was, like, fostered, adopted. She grew up with different parents than Paul did. She moves to New Orleans to, like, reconnect with her brother.
I got the feeling that she was really desperate for a sense of family. Like, maybe she never really had that.
Right, because she was adopted at such a young age.
Which is part of what makes the whole story so sad, because she does seem really excited to have a big brother who is excited to have her in his life.
And he is excited, but for very different reasons.
Yeah, this movie is not perfect.
Oh my god. when Laura was telling me that she was going to watch this movie, I remember specifically texting her, it is not a movie I would recommend watching with your parents, only to then find out that is what happened, unfortunately.
Yes, it was a movie that I watched with my dad and my brother and my brother's girlfriend. However, my dad and my brother did not make it through this movie. The girlfriend and I were
the true heroes.
Yes, and we were hypnotized. Yeah.
It is a hypnotizing movie. So Irina moves to New Orleans to reconnect with her brother and find that sort of sense of family, only to learn that they are descended from an ancient, like, magical species of, as the movie title suggests, cat people.
Yes. They are people who turn into cats.
Specifically, they are people who turn into cats after they have sex.
And they're big cats.
They're panthers.
Wow.
And when they turn into a panther, they have to kill someone to be able to resume their form as a human.
Yes. So, any kids are listening, this is why abstinence is good. You should not have sex. Be terrified of it. That feels like the moral of this story.
Well, right, because as we were just discussing, Irina comes into the story, and I don't know, like, I mean, obviously I know this is an important part of the story. We have to know this information for, like, the logic to make sense, but they're, like, you know very early on, she has not ever had sex.
Yes. They make a big deal about her being pure and virginal.
Exactly.
And that she should only ever have sex with one of her own kind, and that specifically being
her brother.
Her brother.
Yeah. Her brother tries to make this argument a number of times. Shenanigans ensue. At some point, when he is stuck in panther form, she shoots him and kills him. So
is he actually dead?
So here's the thing.
There's a lot of loose ends in this movie, I think.
She shoots him and kills him. Then we, another character that is, like, an important person throughout the film is this zookeeper, whose name is Oliver, right?
Yes.
Played by
John Hurd.
Yeah. Irina kills her brother when he's a panther. Oliver takes him back to the zoo to, like, do an autopsy. He finds there's, like, human remains in the panther's stomach, and he's horrified. And then the panther, like, disintegrates like a vampire. So I would guess that he's dead, but also, who the fuck knows? It's a weird movie.
It's a really weird movie. I don't really feel like there's ever any sense of it's all safe now.
Right.
Yeah. And there's also definitely a lot of big ethical questions.
Right. Especially considering the ending.
Mm-hmm. Did we mention that Irina falls in love?
That's what we're getting to. Okay, so Irina starts, you know, through all the shenanigans.
With not her brother.
Thank God. But falling in love with Oliver, the zookeeper guy. She does know that, like, there's this element of danger if they ever take the next step and have sex. But she does it anyway. She kills someone random. Turns back into a human. Oliver tracks her down and finds her, and she's like, you have to kill me. And he's like, no.
Wait, doesn't she kill the other woman who has a crush on him, the other zookeeper? No. So there's just, because there's that scene in the pool that is, like, really, like, cinematically kind of iconic.
Yes.
It's beautifully there is shot.
A scary, like, almost horror movie-esque pool scene. Yeah. But, like, it is quite beautiful.
Okay, yeah. It's really beautiful, yeah. Because it's like an indoor pool with lights in it after dark. Mm-hmm. And so you just get all these really cool colors and dramatic shots, and it's very scary.
But no, the female zookeeper's okay. Irina just kind of, like, walks around and growls.
Okay, so she marks her territory.
Exactly. Even though at this point she's not a cat yet. I don't know. But anyway, she eventually, at the end of the film, convinces Oliver to have sex with her again so that she can turn back into a panther and live with her own kind, which Oliver interprets as to putting her in a cell by herself in the zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't seem to me like living with her own, but
he cages up female sexuality.
Yes, literally. Literally. Yes. I'd also like to point out, if you are going to watch this movie, the New Orleans Zoo looks very different today than
it
does in
that
film.
But that is actually what it looked like.
I have no idea if that's what it looked like, but if you were wondering about coming to the Audubon Zoo in New Orleans and you watch this movie and you're like, that looks horrible. No. It is actually nice, and it is a good reservation, and they take care of the animals, and it's not a creepy cage
Bella
situation.
Bella and I did go to the Audubon Aquarium, which is all part of, like, the same, I guess, company, an institution that runs both of those places, and the aquarium is actually very well maintained, mm-hmm. and it was a habitat for all animals that needed to be rehabilitated who couldn't live in the wild. We saw Chompatoulas.
Chompatoulas.
The albino alligator. Yes. He was cool. He bumped his nose on the glass to say hi to me. Definitely not because he wanted to eat me.
No, definitely not because he wanted to eat you.
We're best friends now,
obviously. So yeah, but he cages her up and puts her in the zoo at the end. And it is, this movie is just a weird cocktail of...
It's a real roller coaster.
Problematic things, one after another.
And there's also a lot of weird, not quite magical Negro, but verging on magical Negro stereotypes and a strange racial commentary that doesn't really seem to work.
Right. Yeah. So, like, you should definitely watch it.
Yeah. No, it's one of those movies that you just watch with your mouth open, like, what the hell am I watching?
It is a ride. It is a weird ride, but it is a weird ride that is worth it in the end. I think just to say that you watched it and then to talk to other people and go, have you seen this movie? Oh my God, right?
Yeah, it's definitely like the kind of movie that you watch with a group of friends just to be appalled by it together and amused by it together.
Yeah.
So I would say that. I also, just to make it even weirder, for those of you who didn't recognize the name Paul Schrader, he's been like a really big director in like the indie world. His most recent movie was with Richard Gere called O Canada. I think that came out in like the last year, maybe. And he's made tons and tons of indie movies. There's a funny description I read of one of his movies. It's something about, like, you know, man alone with himself in a room kind of movies, which is actually a great way to describe it. But his big claim to fame, where you would probably recognize him if like, he doesn't ring a bell for you as an indie director, is he wrote Taxi Driver, the Martin Scorsese movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. So, and he had, I believe he collaborated with Scorsese on multiple of his really big classic 70s movies. So that's just really interesting context for this, like, very kitschy, very...
Oh, kitschy is not a word I would have used, but now that you've used it, it fits. It really does.
Like, very gimmicky, kind of campy horror movie.
Campy, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely, like,
it's a so bad that it's good, but, like, it's actually good.
And yet it's also bad.
And then it's also bad. It's a so bad that it's good, but you will not regret having spent the time with it.
Yeah,
especially if you are familiar with or live in or plan on coming to New Orleans.
And it is really beautifully shot.
Mm-hmm.
My impression, we haven't seen the 1942 one yet. So I stay tuned for a part two someday, but I get the feeling from like an interview I've seen with Paul Schrader about this movie that one was probably also very beautifully shot. So I think from like a cinematography point of view, this story is sort of appealing to play with, kind of a, you know, do a different take on. I also like think it's kind of an interesting movie to put in conversation with the recent Guillermo del Toro movie, Nightmare Alley, because that was also a remake of either a 1930s or 1940s kind of gothic horror movie. Also kind of a weird plot, but like very beautifully filmed.
Well, that's Guillermo del Toro for you.
Yeah.
And honestly, if they were to do another, like, you know, because what we thought was interesting when we were just looking up the dates, it's past it now, but it was 42 and then 82, so they're exactly 40 years apart. Wouldn't it have been great a few years ago in 22 for Guillermo del Toro to have done an update? Because I think I think his style with this story would be exceptionally amazing.
Yeah, I do think that there's a lot you could get out of this story, and you could play with the ways in which it has been retold over the years in interesting ways. And I think it would be fun to, like... So, like, I mean, Nightmare Alley really is, like, a true remake in that it is, like, you know, the same story, same time period and everything. This is an update. Like, this is contemporaneous to 1982. So they did not choose to make it historical fiction.
That's fair.
Yeah. I remember this movie having very beautiful colors. Like,
yes!
I think there's a lot of... This is one of those, like, red and green movies.
Yes, I was going to say, I remember a lot of, like, very bold reds. I think the cover or, like, the poster or title sequence as well, if you look it up online, is also very, like, bright red. But, like, it doesn't feel, like, murdery. bright red.
But sometimes it feels murdery.
Sometimes, I mean,
when it's literal blood from a dying body.
Yes, it's definitely murdery in the movie, but I feel like the poster feels bright red in like a red light.
Yeah, it's also definitely very like, this is very much a like classic gothic story in that we are going to put sex and violence on the same level together. Yeah. There's a scene where you go to Cat People Land at one point. I don't remember if it's actually a history of where cat people originated from, or if it's kind of like a dream, or if it's sort of both. This whole movie is kind of a weird fever dream. I think if you watch it as a weird fever dream, it works.
Yeah.
Kind of. But there's a shot of Paul and Irina, and there's like a panther, I think, in the tree behind them.
Yes.
Okay. And that was like supposed to be a recreation of, I'll have to like look up and rewatch this interview and post more about this, but I think it's supposed to be a recreation of like a famous painting. And they wanted to do, I think they wanted to do like some like, they wanted to do something else that I personally think would have been so over the top. It would have been fabulous for this movie that really recreated like this old painting. And I think it was like a half woman, half cat lounging in a tree. And they decided it was too weird. So they either went for like a whole human or a whole cat. I can't remember the exact scene now.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah. But strange. I will look up the painting and the exact story and get back to you.
So stay tuned, Cinecoven, for that and for other
Arcadian Cinecoven tonight.
Arcadian Cinecoven. Stay tuned for that and for other full-length episodes left to come in our summer school grimoire on Finding Forrester and
Animal House.
That was the other one. Yeah.
We're going to round out the summer school season with those two, and then we'll have a potion at some point.
Yeah.
What's our potion, Bill?
Well, that's for me to know and you to find out.
Okay.
Meaning I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, to be determined.
To be determined.
So, yeah, and then we're going to be very excited to bring to you some more mini episodes before we get to a new season of full-length content. But we had to interrupt summer school to do a special New Orleans broadcast this
Absolutely.
Evening.
Mm-hmm. You can find your Silver Nitrate Witches on various online platforms at LJ Valenza and at Bowling303. Thanks so much to Fine Motor for the use of their song Highway Moon. You can check out more about the band at finemotormusic.com. Thanks for listening. Stay witchy.
And keep watching movies. Meow.